Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, welcome back to another edition of CUDA Confidential. Our next guest is a native of Montreal and spent 4 years at Western Michigan before turning pro this last spring when he signed an amateur tryout agreement with the Barracuda and eventually a one-year AHL contract for the 24-25 season. We are pleased to welcome Barracuda forward Luke Granger to the CUDA Confidential podcast. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are very happy to be joined by Barracuda forward Luke Granger. Luke, we saw you last year, small sample size, two games, but we did get a chance to meet you, see you a little bit as a player. Next year, you'll be with the team on a full-time basis, having signed an AHL contract for next season. But how's the offseason going? I know you graduated, you walked, college is now in the rearview mirror, but how's your summer treating you?
Yeah, it's been good. I'm in Montreal right now. I'm living at my dad's place. So it's been really nice, you know, getting back to training, stuff like that, but also just seeing friends and family that I don't really see when I've been in college. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
So once you were in San Jose, you got that experience, you were in the building, you met the coaching staff, met some of your future teammates. Did you go back to school to walk and just kind of finish up all the loose ends in college?
Yeah, so I had to come back because it was exam week, like April 23rd to 27th. So right after the season ended in San Jose, flew right back to school, kind of finished up there all my exams, and then stayed, I'd say, an extra 10 days just to kind of see my friends for the last time because they kind of all live all over the place in Alberta and all over the place, all over the world. But yeah, it was good. So I ended up graduating and then after those 10 days after school, and then I just headed back here to Montreal.
So what's it like for a player? You guys had big hopes of going on a long playoff run, I'm sure. You played in the NCAA tournament. You played Michigan State in round number one. You guys were unfortunately eliminated, but you go through a span of you're excited for the playoffs. Then all of a sudden a pro opportunity develops. You're going to sign with a pro team. Then you're out in the city of the pro team. You're getting your feet wet, probably your head spinning in a new environment. And then you got to go back to school. You're trying to balance school too. What was that 2-3 week span like for you?
Well, it was obviously a lot of fun. It was a pretty fast pace though, for sure. But I would say, you know, just playing in the NCAA tournament is obviously the goal for every college team. And we were able to do that the last 3 years. And, you know, last year playing against Michigan State and losing was tough, but as a senior, you're kind of hoping you're able to play pro hockey. And I was fortunate enough to sign with San Jose. So I left 2 days after my season ended, flew all the way to San Jose and met the team in San Diego and met all the guys kind of on the road. And so, no, it was a lot of fun. And then obviously coming back and after my month in San Jose was a lot of fun, but you know, it's kind of cool when you get to have new experiences and kind of don't really know what's going to happen. And I just thought like those month and a half was a lot of fun and I really enjoyed it.
I don't mean to reopen a wound. That Western Michigan team that you had this past year, you beat Denver twice. They went on to win the national championship. In both wins, you scored 7 goals. You were one of the best teams in one of the best conferences all year. You made the NCAA tournament for the 3rd straight season. That program had never done that before. Does it still sting a little bit knowing that you guys against Michigan State, for an example, you had a 2-goal lead in that game, you lose in overtime, knowing that with the talented team that you had, that you had bigger aspirations, bigger goals, thought maybe that team could go a little bit farther than maybe you ended up ultimately going?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, it's tough to think about because we're, you know, 50 seconds away from beating a really good Michigan State team, but you know, they're gotta give them credit. They're a really good team. They fought hard. They're really good all year for a reason. So, I mean, yeah, it's tough, but you know, that's the expectation for Western Michigan hockey now. You know, being able to be a part of that for 3 years and set that expectation is kind of something I'm proud of. You know, being able to be a part of that is really special. And then also, you know, being captain of the team last year was obviously a huge honor and, an accomplishment, and just being able to do all that, I feel like it's just helped me in the long run.
Well, you were the captain last year. Your first season of college hockey was actually the COVID year. So technically you could have gone back for a fifth season. We've seen guys either go to graduate school or just return back for a fifth college season. You had the opportunity to turn pro, and I'm sure that was highly influential on your decision to not go back. But knowing how good your team was last year, knowing how close you were to being a team that could go on a really long run, did it ever cross your mind to maybe go back to college, or was it too enticing to embark on your next chapter as a pro hockey player?
Yeah, I feel like, having that chance and ability to go back is obviously in the back of your mind. But at the end of the day, I kind of went to Western to play pro hockey. And I just felt like after this year, it was my time to try to move on and play pro. And obviously I was lucky enough to get an opportunity in San Jose, but I just felt like, I did my part. I was happy with how I played, and I had over 100 points in college, and I feel like a lot of people probably didn't think I would have had that. So, I was really proud of my college career. I would love to go back and go back to college for another year, because I loved Western Michigan so much. But I just felt like, it was just time for me to move on, let the younger guys have a bigger role, and just look forward to watching them in the future.
Well, you're a Montreal kid. You played U.S. college hockey, not a overly common path for a guy from Montreal to come to the U.S. and play. You played in the Central Canadian Hockey League, your junior hockey, before going on to college hockey. And you had a very obviously successful career. You're signing a professional contract now. But I want to ask, when you came in as a wide-eyed freshman, probably looking to actually gain some weight physically and mature physically, get used to the rigors of a college hockey season, how do you feel like you've grown as a person and as a hockey player over your 4 years at Western?
Yeah, I mean, coming in freshman year is obviously kind of an eye opener. There's a couple guys who played NHL games who were on that team when I first stepped in. But I feel like, just when you get there, you kind of just learn and watch the older guys and take in what they do around the ice and off the ice, and to kind of learn from that. And I think the core group that we had my freshman year helped not only me as a freshman, but the all 14 other freshmen that were on my team. So I feel like, just Western Michigan University doesn't really make you a better hockey player, but, they also make you a better human. And I just feel like under, Andy Murray, my first year, and then Coach Pat Fischweiler, my last 3 years, they just kind of treat you like a pro. And I feel like that helped me kind of become the person I am today. So, just the environment, the atmosphere, and all that stuff kind of helped me grow as a person and a player.
I was looking up some of the NHL alumni from Western Michigan. One guy that just kind of popped off at me, because I've seen him a lot in the AHL, certainly in the Pacific Division, is a guy like Sheldon Dries, an undrafted player, a little bit on the undersized side of things. And I looked at your guys' numbers from a goal standpoint, pretty similar. You had quite a few more assists as a senior this past year than he did as a senior. But he's found a niche as an NHL player. When he's been in the AHL, he's been dynamic as a goal scorer. Do you look at a guy like Sheldon Dries as a possible player to maybe follow his path, or look at some of the ways that he has been able to carve out a pro career?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Guys like that who are obviously big alumni for Western Michigan hockey, and what I like about Western is that they take a lot of pride in their alumni, and, they talk a lot about them in practice and what they did and how they were able to be successful to make it onto pro. So I think for me as a smaller guy, just being able to kind of watch guys like Sheldon Dries, who are playing with three of my teammates who I played at Western on Abbotsford, which is pretty cool. And guys like, Hugh McGing and smaller guys who've been at Western, just watching and learning and kind of seeing how they did it as a smaller guy is obviously a pretty cool thing to see. And so it kind of gives you a little bit more confidence for a guy like me, because, it's like, if these guys could do it, just got to put the work in, and then, hopefully the end result will be the same for me.
I know what it was like as a kid. I was never the biggest kid. I finally grew when I was like a senior, and I'm still not that tall. I'm 5'11", but I know what it's like to be maybe undersized. And the thing is, for a player like yourself, you've never been the biggest guy. You've never been probably the strongest guy, or the fastest guy. So you found a niche and an ability to overcome a lot of that by having obviously good hockey smarts, being able to read the game and think the game really well. And then you have a lot of skill on top of that. But I want to ask, how have you adapted as an undersized player to still have a successful career and a career that you hope goes beyond college?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, obviously wasn't the fat or the biggest guy, and nor was I the fastest guy. So I think as I've played at higher levels, for me, the biggest thing that I noticed I needed to have was, you know, speed. I feel like I needed to be one of the quickest guys on the ice every game. And for me, you know, I might not win every single puck battle, even though I'll try, but because I'm going against bigger guys, but just being able to be quick in the corners, throughout the neutral zone, the D zone, all over the ice, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm one of the quicker guys on the ice, and just being, you know, as strong as you can on both skates and try not to get knocked off the puck too easily for a smaller guy.
We're talking to Barracuda forward Luke Granger. We spoke when you signed with the team, and you said there was a couple of different offers that you had on the table, but ultimately the Barracuda you felt like was the best choice and direction for you and in your next step in your career. So what was it about San Jose and the opportunity that was so intriguing for you?
I just feel like, you know, obviously talking to Joe and, you know, my agent, I just felt like this was the best opportunity in terms of development, in terms of where they think I would fit best. And I also ultimately just felt like I had a really good feel for the Sharks. I just felt like when I was talking to the organization and, you know, talking to my agent about it, I just felt like they kind of wanted me a little bit more than other teams. And regardless of like how much I'm going to play or what's going to happen next year, I just feel like if I'm going to get an opportunity, that's kind of all I really want. And I feel like, you know, they said, if you do your job and, you know, come into training camp in really good shape, you know, you'll get an opportunity like every other guy. And that's basically all I'm kind of looking for as a guy like me, you know. And I just felt like once you get a feeling that you're going to like the spot, I kind of just got that and ran with it.
AHL training camp, a little bit different than the NHL. It's very truncated. It's short. Then you have a couple of preseason games. Then you're right into the year. So maybe not the runway you'd have in an NHL training camp, but I've seen a lot of guys make impressions in that short stint, open some eyes, earn an opportunity. So I want to ask you, what are your goals going into training camp? What are you hoping to accomplish? Because ultimately, everybody wants to be in the highest level. So for you, you'd want to be in the AHL playing for the Barracuda next year. So what are your goals going into camp?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is obviously to come in shape, come in really good shape, come in a lot faster, a lot stronger as a smaller guy. But I just, you know, I want to make a good impression and kind of play bigger than my size. I've been kind of overlooked a little bit my entire life, which is normal because I'm a smaller guy. So, you know, I understand how that works, but, you know, I just want to make sure that they know, you know, that I play a lot bigger than my size, you know, and I'm not really worried about going into the corners or what happens. You know, I'm always just going to be the hardest working guy on the ice. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward towards going.
Yeah. Well, you talked about being overlooked a little bit. You're a Montreal kid. In your backyard is Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And I think every kid growing up in that area probably wants to play in that league. Was that something you wanted to do from an early age? And as a smaller guy, it tends to be a league that leans towards more physically mature players, bigger at a younger age. Was that a league you wanted to play in, or did you just kind of realize that college hockey was probably going to be your best path?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, a lot of guys want to go to the Q, which is normal. And I kind of always had, you know, a fascinated itch for college hockey. And I went to my first college hockey game when I was 13, I believe, at Boston College against Notre Dame. And I was like, I fell in love. I was like, this is where I want to play. I want to play college hockey. But I didn't really have the opportunity to play in the Quebec Major Junior League. You know, I didn't really grow till I was 16, 17 years old. So all my friends were playing AAA, AA, and I got cut from both. So I was playing for my school hockey team. But yeah, I kind of just always had the, you know, mindset that I wanted to play college hockey and, you know, talking to my family. Education is pretty big and important for us. So I just felt like that was the best route for me. And, you know, even though we know hockey is a job now, you know, it's not going to last forever. So we always felt like having a degree and having a backup plan was the safest bet for us.
I love hearing those stories of guys who get cut and then they find themselves reaching the pro level. I mean, it's probably a chip on your shoulder. It's probably a driving force. We had a player who you played with last year for a short period of time in Nikolai Konechkov. He was cut from his Western Hockey League team. He was cut from his North American Hockey League team. And then within a couple of years, he's playing for the World Junior team in Russia. And then he's an NHL contracted player. Everybody has a different path. And that's kind of the fun part about it. And it's about, I guess, using that as fuel. You went to prep school hockey in the States, if I'm not mistaken, before going and playing junior hockey and then off to college. Why was that a good path? And for folks here on the West Coast, we do not have prep college hockey or prep high school hockey, that is. So what is that experience like and how did that help you develop?
It was awesome. I love my time there. It was a small school called Hebron Academy in Maine, kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's a pretty big campus, but there's only, I think, maybe 250 kids living, and it was a boarding school. So I went there for 2 years after I graduated grade 11 in Montreal, and then I redid grade 11 and then did grade 12. And so, no, it was a great experience, you know, living from home. I'm kind of an independent kid, so I love living on my own and kind of doing my own thing. But I feel like prep school hockey on the East Coast is pretty big, you know, in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, Connecticut, and there's a lot of good boarding schools and prep schools that a lot of kids in Montreal now are going to play because I think the hockey is just better there. And that kind of helps you lead to play on a better junior team. So I feel like a lot of kids are doing that. But yeah, you know, I just kind of went to a showcase when I was 15, 16 and got the opportunity to go play there. And you know, I loved it. And I feel like that was probably the best 2 years that I've had in terms of like building confidence and kind of becoming a better player. And, you know, I probably wouldn't have been the player that I am today if I didn't go to that prep school because we weren't very good at all. So I was able to play a lot, play against some pretty high level teams.
So from there, you go off, as we mentioned, to the Central Canadian Hockey League, the CCHL for the Hawkesbury Hawks. And your first year, you played well, but it was that second year which you really took off individually from a stats standpoint. When did the opportunity come with Western Michigan? Were there other schools in the mix? When did you start getting on the map of some of these college teams?
Yeah, it was kind of my beginning of my 20-year-old year. It's kind of funny because I played in the Chowder Cup in Boston the summer going into my last year of junior hockey. And I had a pretty good tournament. And then about 3 weeks later, I got a call from one of the assistant coaches there from Western Michigan. And then if I'm completely honest, I had no idea what Western Michigan hockey was. I was like, oh, like it's a school. And then I kind of looked it up and like, wow, Jesus, like that's a pretty good school. So obviously I looked into it a little bit more, but didn't really get my hopes high because I don't think they've taken a player from the Central Canadian Hockey League in 10, maybe 15 years. So, you know, I was obviously just excited to talk to them. And then they came to watch me the first 2 weeks of juniors. And I was talking to a couple other teams. It was basically between them and Miami University, which is our biggest rival when I was there. So it's kind of funny thinking about it now. But I just committed to Western in November of my junior year without even visiting. I just kind of, like I did with San Jose, you know, just had a good feeling about it. I really liked what the coaches had to say. Just looking at pictures, looking at the rink and the crazy fans that they had and everything going down there, you know, I just kind of fell in love and I was like, hey, look, I want to come. And then kind of went to go visit 2 weeks after I committed. And I was like, this is the best decision I've ever made. You know, I kind of haven't looked back from there.
Did you have any concerns that playing in the CCHL wasn't going to give you enough exposure? Because I was just talking to Gabe Carriere, goalie for the Barracuda, and he started in that league. Then he went to the USHL for a season before going off to college. Everybody has their own path, but did you have any concerns? Were you looking at maybe trying to go to the USHL or the NA or even the BC, a different league with more exposure? Or was that just the right kind of path for you?
Yeah, so I had an advisor. He was kind of pushing me to go to the NHL after my, going into my 20-year-old year so I can finish there, because obviously the scouting is a lot more common compared to the CCHL. But, I kind of just felt like I was going to be, like the top player on that team. And I felt like if you're a good player, the coaches will find you wherever you are. And so that was kind of my mindset. And, being able to be a leader on that team, I felt like was a good opportunity for me as well. And yeah, I'm fortunate enough to be able to get picked up by Western when playing the CCHL, because it doesn't happen very often. But I was definitely thinking about it a little bit, but I kind of always just had a feeling, just kind of want to stick it out and do my job. And then, if you have a good year, you'll get picked up. Doesn't matter where you play.
Well, this final season of college hockey, you noted it, you wore the C, and there was tons of other accolades that you picked up. You led the team in scoring. You're obviously one of the best players on the team, on a very good team. You also were the senior scholar athlete of the year in the conference, which I'm sure for a hockey player is a nice little accolade to pick up. You're probably most focused on what's going on the ice, but to be able to be recognized for what you did in the classroom probably has to be a nice little feather in your cap as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously it's a huge accomplishment to win a league award, regardless of what it is. But when you go play hockey, you're trying to win a hockey award, but I think my parents were way more excited than I was to win that award, even though I was really happy. But it just kind of feels like, winning that award kind of just shows, the amount of work that you put in both on and off the ice and in the classroom being a college student, because at times it can get pretty hard. So just being able to have that award, and represent the school is a huge honor. And, I was really happy and fortunate to go to Minnesota and fly out there and get the award.
Well, you also were a Hobey Baker nominee. So you talk about hockey awards. That's the holy grail of college hockey awards. And you're in the conversation for it. You were a finance major at Western Michigan. You just picked up your degree, officially a graduate. Again, congratulations on that. You've got hopefully a long hockey career in front of you, and you don't need to utilize your degree for quite some time. But have you ever thought about post-hockey career, what you'd want to be doing for a living?
Having a finance degree, being able to kind of do something in the finance world is something that I've always kind of had an eye for. I have a dad who works in real estate. Being able to kind of see that firsthand is something that I've always really enjoyed. And so I feel like just, those type of things is something that I would like to do when hockey comes to an end. But I kind of haven't really put too much of a thought like the other students had to do when they graduate college and kind of get internships and stuff like that. But I mean, I love hockey and I want to play as long as I can, but there's going to be a time when it ends. And so being able to kind of go back and do something in that world is definitely interesting. And I'm pretty excited to do that.
You mentioned your dad, Tom. I always like to ask what players' parents do. So your dad's in real estate, your mom, Jane, what does she do for a living?
She was a substitute teacher.
So you had a teaching influence, and then you had a real estate influence as well. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah. So I got two older brothers who are 31 and 30. I got a little sister who's 15 and a little brother who's 13.
Anybody else play hockey in the family?
My little 13-year-old brother is a pretty big hockey player. So
do you, now that you're older and you're back for a little bit during the off season, do you try to either get on the ice or just work with him a little bit?
Yeah. So he comes on the ice once or twice a week with me, with the older college and pro guys. So being able to have him on the ice with me and kind of see how much he gets better every summer when I come back is pretty special. And, he's a smaller guy like I was. He's 13. He's probably like 80 pounds right now. And he's short and pretty skinny, which is kind of funny. But just being able to see the work ethic that he's putting in, because you know he sees what I've gone through, and being able to kind of be his hero is pretty special. And you know, I just, you know, you love having a sibling and stuff like that who plays hockey like you as well. And my older brother, who's 30 years old, plays beer league hockey, so I'll go on the ice with him when he needs me, when there's guys missing, you know, and he loves that as well. So it's kind of fun to do that with siblings.
Yeah, when he needs a ringer, he ends up calling you. You don't hear much of an accent. And I was talking to Donovan Hoole. He also is from Montreal, and you hear it a lot more in his voice. I'm sure he speaks a lot of French. Do you speak any French, being a kid that grew up in Montreal?
Yeah, so I was pretty much fluent in French. And then ever since I kind of went to prep school and juniors and college, I've kind of lost it a little bit. So when I was with Donnie and those guys in San Jose, you know, being with them, you can kind of tell how big his accent is and stuff like that. But I was kind of born on the English part of Montreal in the West Island. So our language is just pretty much fully English. The only time we had to speak French was at school in French class.
I was at Western. Did you take French as just an easy layup?
No, I didn't. I don't know why, but I should have though, or I don't know why. And it's kind of shocking because none of my teammates ever took French as well. And I feel like if they just asked me for help, I probably would help them out and get an easy A. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't ever take that, because I think there might have been like a written test or something like that. And I feel like they probably wouldn't have let me into like the French class.
I want to ask, when you first were, I guess, being introduced to the sport, I mean, it's a cultural experience in Canada. It'd almost be hard pressed to think you wouldn't be exposed to the sport. But what are your earliest memories of lacing up the skates and kind of falling in love with the sport?
I mean, I think it's ever since I can walk at this point. I know I had an older brother who played hockey growing up. So I guess as soon as I was able to walk, I was put on skates and hockey gear with a Montreal Canadiens jersey, because that's who we grew up loving. But yeah, I mean, if you're from Montreal or pretty much anywhere in Canada, I would think you're going to be probably putting on skates and lacing them up when the outdoor rinks are ready in the wintertime. So it was definitely pretty early.
We're talking to Barracuda forward Luke Granger. When you had the Habs jersey on your outside skating on the pond, who were you visualizing that you were?
That's a tough question. I would think probably like Saku Koivu, or maybe Alexei Kovalev. Those kind of guys I loved watching growing up. And, you know, just being able to be a Montreal Canadiens fan and being able to watch games when I was younger, obviously just made me love the sport even more, because, you know, going to the Bell Center is pretty special. And so those are probably the two guys I would think I love watching the most as a kid.
Now that you're going to be a California resident, what are you most looking to in terms of living out in California? This will be your, I'm assuming, your first full-time stint being on the West Coast.
My oldest brother lives in Los Angeles. So there's going to be two of us living on the West Coast now. So just being able to have him come to a couple games and we play against teams that are closer to California or to LA will be really cool, because I don't really get to see him much, probably maybe once if that a year. So, and you know, just kind of enjoying the life out there, because you know, you never know where you're going to be able to live throughout your lifetime. So I'm pretty fortunate to be able to live in San Jose, that's for sure.
It's great to meet you for our short little period of time at the end of the year. We look forward to seeing you this year as well, and enjoy the off season. I always think it's vitally important for guys to obviously get ready for the year, but just get away from the game, because we all know how long the season can be. But we'll see you at development camp. We'll see you in the fall as well. But thanks again for the time, and again, enjoy the summer.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
A big thank you to Barracuda forward Luke Granger. For more original Barracuda audio content, head to sjbarracuda.com/confidential, or you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. That does it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. Say thanks for listening, and so long until next time.